That's so good. You could just watch that for like 45 minutes, you know? It's just so awesome to see these kids just be so honest and human and just say, you're so nice, unlike my sister. Mom's feeling a little stressed out right now. Just be nice to her, mother. And then they must have edited out where it's like, be nice, dad. It just amazing. Like I love just seeing these kids and just the way that they talk about their moms. And today is a special day for the women of Faith Bridge. If we've not met, my name is Steve Carter. I love this church. I love what God is stirring here. And there's just so much when I think about Mother's Day. For many of you, this is a day that, gosh, you have the whole family together, a day of celebration. But have you ever wondered, like, how did we get Mother's Day? The truth is, Mother's Day began in the Methodist Church. True, it did. There was a woman, her name was Anne. And Anne lived in West Virginia, Grafton, West Virginia. And there was this kind of a season of disunity between those that grew up in the South and those that grew up in the North. And so what she began to do is really under this kind of guise of understanding of the Bible and peacemaking and reconciliation, she began to bring moms together to teach them ways to actually take care of their kids. And so they really called these like mom groups. It was like the first MOPs ever. And they would gather together, and then her daughter, Anna, who actually, and this is a picture of Anna up here, but Anna, she actually never had kids. But once her mom passed, she had this huge desire for moms to be celebrated, so she just began to write notes. She wrote letters, and in 1914, Woodrow Wilson actually said, hey, this day will be set apart as a day to honor moms. But get this, what ended up happening was Anna, the one who literally was the daughter of the woman who actually was about peacemaking, reconciliation, good Methodist Jesus values, seeing Mother's Day and moms be lifted up. She got furious because Mother's Day has now become a $20.7 billion industry. And what ended up starting to actually bring honor and value to moms got hijacked by the Hallmarks of the world. And then Anna goes towards the end of her life and she's like, take the day off the calendar. And I was like, wow, this is just so fascinating to me because you have this mom who like had this dream and this vision for how things would go. She has a daughter who wants to see her mom's legacy come to fruition, and then something else takes over. It gets co-opted, and it becomes something far different than what they actually dreamed it to be. And I don't know about you, but I just feel like that is so similar to how life is. We have these values to live out the teachings of Jesus. We have these dreams, these deep, deep desires to be a certain kind of person in the world. And then all of a sudden we pass it down to our kids and our kids are living it out. And then somehow culture can co-opt it. And it just ends up being missed. And I'm watching so many moms. I found myself just fascinated because so many women right now are feeling like just over their heads, exhausted, tired. You go on Instagram right now and it's like, you'll see moms who are like, I just need another glass of wine. I deserve it. It's like wine time. And I'm like, what is going on right now? But you just feel it. You just feel it. I started to talk with some moms, and I was just trying to get a sense going into today's message. Hey, tell me what the last 2 years have felt like. They've said things like this. I often feel too much and not enough in the same sentence. Any women agree with that? Yeah. Or how about this one? During COVID, I often feel so alone and so never alone. I mean, can you just imagine? You start thinking about it, like, I feel so alone. Like, I'm at home, like, helping my kids do Zoom life and school, and, like, somebody is always trying to touch me. Like, I feel so alone and so never alone. alone. And the crazy piece about it is, for many of us, we just don't feel like we have a map. We're just kind of going through this. And what's amazing to me, though, is the strength, the security, the love, and the way that I believe that so many mothers are exuding even in difficult seasons. I mean, there's very few things that we all could say were very, very similar. I mean, we all love to laugh. We all cry tears. Now we all bleed the same color. We are all born of a woman. We all have a mom. No matter where we are in our relationship with our mom, we all came from a woman. What's amazing is Paul is writing, and he's writing to his spiritual son. He's truly the most unlikely disciple. He's not somebody who should have been entrusted with one of the most important cities in the ancient Near East, Ephesus, to be kind of the pastor of that city. But this guy was struggling with timidity. Scholars often refer to this guy as timid Timothy. But what's amazing is when Paul actually begins to reflect and write and encourage Timothy in the last letter he ever wrote that we have in the scriptures, we see that he does something. And he brings to mind the two women in his life who shaped him, formed him, helped him become truly, truly a special, special human. Today, I want to look at three verses and four Greek words that will promise you won't bore you, but will hopefully help you celebrate the women in your life, but also encourage you to be a certain kind of person in our world today. If you have a Bible, you could turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 5, and it says this. I am reminded, and Paul's talking to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith. I am reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois. And Lois in like the original language means a more desirable, a better way of living. You could change like one letter in the Greek, and in that word, in like a masculine tense, Lois would actually become a warrior. And in your mother Eunice, and Eunice means good victory. The N-I-C-E from Eunice is kind of like where we get the idea of Nike, which meant victory. So Eunice was good victory. So he names two women that are more desirable, better way of living, warrior-ish, and good victory. And I'm like reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, which first lived in Lois and in Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And I love this word sincere, because we often think of this word as a very, very soft word. But more than anything today, I find myself fascinated with people who are literally sincere. Like they mean what they say and they say what they mean. You actually know who they are because how they live matches what they talk about. There's this level of integrity. They're not actually playing games. They're not just trying to keep it safe. They are who you thought they were. And what's amazing is sincere actually is a word that had rich, rich meaning in Ephesus. See, in Ephesus, there was this massive, massive outdoor amphitheater. And every night, there would be these Greek actors, and they'd have backpacks. And inside the backpacks, usually there would be one actor, maybe two actors. And inside the backpacks, there would be different masks. And there would be these three-act plays with one or two actors where they would perform as multiple characters. And they would literally put the mask on, and they would pretend to be this persona, put it down, put on another mask, and they would do these entire plays becoming these personas under the mask. And these actors were known as hypocrites. This is where we get the word. Now, check this out. Sincere in the original language is the word anupokritos, which you're like, of course, I knew that. Duh, Steve. But it means this. If you take the A, and the A literally means like anti or not A, and the hupokritomai literally is where we get the word hypocrite. So to be sincere was to be anti-hypocritical. To be sincere in the original language literally means to drop the mask, to allow yourself to be fully seen, to be someone that literally is living in such an honest way that people see you, the raw, real, authentic, vulnerable you. And Paul's writing going, Timothy, I know inside of you there is this sincerity. Don't feel the pressure to put on a mask. I saw it in your mom, Eunice. She was victorious in her life because she lived the sincere faith. I saw this in your grandmother, Lois, and her life was a more desirable, better way of living because she had this sincere faith. But more than ever, we are being challenged to wear masks. I don't know about you, but I find that so many of us, whether it's on Instagram and we're putting on a new filter, we've downloaded an app where we can get rid of all the wrinkles, we can lighten our skin, darken our skin, we can do whatever we can just to kind of push out a different image so that we can seem a little bit more beautiful than the next person. Again, there's no shade in this, but what's the real motivation? What's the real intent? And when we're actually sincere, we're allowing ourselves to be seen for who we really are, beautiful and broken. And I think the women that I respect the most are the women who honestly can walk in this level of integrity and fight the cultural pressures to put on masks. And here, in my opinion, are the five masks that we are most commonly putting on and wearing today. The first one is this, the pleaser mask. And this is just a mask where we just try to keep everybody else happy. We're just trying to make everybody else happy. And it's not from a place of like grounded self-love and what God has given to us. We find our love in keeping everybody happy. The second mask for many of us will wear is the perfecter mask. And everything's gotta be perfect. Everything's gotta be perfect. Your grades have to be perfect. The house has to be perfect. The meal has to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. Any of you recovering like perfecter mask wearing people? How many of you are still in recovery like me about this? Yeah, it's just struggles. But the constant, it's gotta be perfect. If it doesn't meet my expectations, it's terrible. For some of us, it's the pretender mask. We're just constantly pretending. Have you seen that movie? You're like, of course. No movie's been released in the last year. How have you seen a movie? You know what I mean? Like, we just feel like we don't want to be left out, so we just pretend that we're in the know. Just be honest. Drop the mask. Allow yourself to be seen. Stop pretending. Or for many of us, we just perform. Everything that we do is a performance. And so people find themselves going like, I don't know like who you really are. Well, for some of us, when we get really, really triggered, instead of just pleasing or pretending or perfecting, we find ourselves powering up to try and gain control of the situation. And all of a sudden, these masks take on a persona, and unfortunately, they take on a persona of our faith. And when we end up handing down a faith, we end up handing down a faith of pretenders or perfectors, performers, pleasers, or people who power up. And what Paul is writing to Timothy going, hey, I know you might be struggling with timidity, but I need you to remember where you come from. And where you come from is two incredibly strong women who were victorious and had a more desirable way of life because their faith was sincere. What about you, Timothy? And truth be told, the younger generation, the thing that they respect the most isn't how much you know. It's about the kind of person that you are. The sincerity, the character, the integrity. And when we walk in this, we live in this, we give our kids, our grandkids, those that we come in contact with, the best chance to live out the teachings of Jesus in a deeply, deeply moving and compelling way. The scriptures continue on in verse 6. It says this, for this reason. And what he's saying is for this reason, because you've literally come from two incredible women, for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then he says this verse that many of us know. But this verse to me is so important, especially in this unique season in which we live. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. See, what's so amazing is when you have a sincere faith, when you understand that you don't have to wear a mask, you're not finding your power or your identity in the mask that you wear, but you're finding it from some other place, a place in which the Spirit of God has given to you, it changes you. And Paul's writing, he's going, hey, you got to understand, this was true of your mom and your grandma. I believe it's true of you, but you got to fan this into flame. You got to live this out. You got to actually give this intention and live with intention to actually embody this. And he says, you got to be someone who's not timid, but you got to be someone who lives with power. And this is a word that I think for many of us, we've seen done wrong, abusive power. We've seen people just power up. We've seen people actually kind of wear that power mask and try to gain control of a situation. But there's another kind of power, and this word in the original language is dunamis. And it's really that you could actually be a wise, where we get the word dynamic or dynamite. This is the kind of power that we actually have accessible to us as Christ followers. This is what Paul saw in Lois. This is what Paul saw in Eunice. This is what Paul believes was in Timothy. I believe that every one of us as followers of Jesus has access to resurrection power. Power to actually see every moment transformed. Power to see every relationship transformed. Power to actually pray with boldness, to live with sincerity. The power. And I think too many Christians are actually living very, very soft and safe and comfortable lives. But when you actually recognize the kind of power that you have, it changes you. Changes you. The best and the only understanding, the best way I know how to describe this is a number of years ago, I was walking out of church and I saw a guy and he saw me and he just threw something. I saw it coming to me and I grabbed hold of it and I looked at it and it was keys to a brand new Ferrari Spider. So I put those in my pocket. And I took out keys to my 2002 Honda Civic, and I threw it to him. And he caught it. And I said, fair trade. And he said, you got to take it for a drive. And I'm like, dude, I'm not driving your car. Bright yellow, brand new, supercharged Ferrari Spider. I'm like, I'm not driving your car. He goes, no, take it for the weekend. I'm like, okay. So I get in the car, and it's low to the ground. The whole thing shakes. I'm shaking. I'm driving in the parking lot, and as I'm going, he's behind me in my Civic, which is hilarious, and he calls me, but I'm like, I'm not falling for your joke. You don't talk on the cell phone where you're driving. Like, I'm not falling for that. He calls again, so I hit speaker, and he yells at me. He goes, do you know what you're driving? I said, dude, I'm driving the car you just gave the keys to. He goes, yeah, you're driving a V12 supercharged Ferrari Spider. Stop driving it like a Honda Civic. Hit the gas, Sally. I said, yes, Lord. And I turned that corner and I felt the power. Now, here's the thing, like, you have the same power that rose Jesus from the grave living within you. And when you live with a sincere faith, you don't just walk into a situation and go, man, fear. You don't walk into a situation and go, man, I'm overwhelmed. Walk into a situation of anxiety. You look at it and you look at it with a perspective of resurrection power. And it doesn't mean you don't go, gosh, this feels like Friday or this feels like Saturday, but you never forget that Sunday's possible in any situation because that's the Easter story. So friends, you have power. This is what Paul wanted to remind Timothy, but it's not just that you have power, and then the word is love. Love. And that Greek word is the word agape. And agape is one of the four kinds of love that we see used in the new scripture, but agape literally means sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. A kind of love that is so grounded in what God did for you that you have to give it away. It can't just be stored up within you. You've got to actually give that away. And let's just be honest. I look at the way that my kids look at my wife, the way that my wife looks at my kids is just different. It like literally reminds me of how God sent his son, and his son just entered into a broken and beautiful world filled with real people who had real stories, and he entered into their stories. And he came to serve. But he didn't just come to please. He didn't just come with no sense of love or identity. He came in a place where he actually gave the best of himself away for the betterment of others. He gave them a more desirable way, Lois. He gave them the chance of a good victory, Eunice. This is what great moms do. This is what great women do. This is what great Christ followers do. They live with the sense of resurrection power is always within them and at their fingertips. And there's this sense of sacrificial love. The power is not for me, but the power and love is to be given away. But here's the kicker to me. As Paul, when he's talking to Timothy, doesn't just say, hey, God didn't give you the spirit of timidity, Timothy. He gave you a spirit of power, love, and then lastly, self-discipline. Self-discipline. And self-discipline is a fascinating word. I'm going to butcher it, but it's like sophronissimos. And it literally means a sound mind. A sound mind. So that you literally can look at a situation and not almost like get zoomed in on it and get all emotional or overwhelmed by it, but you can like Google Earth and step all the way back and are able to see it for what it really, really is and have a sober and sound mind. I mean, you wanna know where real crazy lives? The Next Door app. You been on that thing? That thing is crazy. It's so hard to have a sound mind on the Next Door app. I mean, I thought Facebook was bad, but there's a whole other level of crazy on the Next Door app. And what's amazing is people are like, and here's where I live. And you're like, you just literally put a sign on the internet to say crazy lives here. It's hard to have a sound mind. And then you're watching just neighbors bicker back and forth, and every once in a while, I'll just find myself observing because I'm a people watcher or a people stalker or a people reader on the internet, and I'm just watching this, and then I'll see one sound-minded, wise guy who just says, hey, you don't have to do it like this, and then everyone just turns on him or on her, and he's like, I'm just trying to help. But there's this something that I've become so grateful for, and it's people who have a sound mind. You don't get worked up. If you've ever been around a great quarterback or a great leader, oftentimes in times of stress, they get more focused. Been around a great mom, and somehow, I don't know how she can get the whole minivan filled, all of the snacks packed, all of the things that those kids had forgotten, all the assignments done, everything set, and like still have a full tank of gas in the car. And you look at this and just, it's like normal. And you put one dad in that situation, for the majority of them, they're like, oh my goodness. They've forgotten assignments. There's no food. Our pets' heads are falling off. Like there's like, they were just, it's just like, what are we doing here? And there's just like this moment that you're like, you watch this where so many guys, you watch this where so many of us, we lose our minds. And what's so powerful is when you can actually have a sincere faith. You're not putting on a mask to pretend or to please or to perform. Being the kind of person who goes, and I need help. This is difficult. This is hard. You get to the kind of point where you're actually saying, like, I'm not actually going to engage in this. This isn't helpful for me. It's not helpful for my kids. It's not helpful for my family. You get to the moment where you actually recognize, no, but I do have this level of power, and this is what I want to actually put my energy towards. I do have this kind of love, but if I'm going to actually give sacrificial love away, I actually got to create space where I'm experiencing God's love again and again and again. But in all things and in every situation, I'm going to choose to have a sound mind. This is what Paul wanted for Timothy, who was going to lead one of the biggest churches in the ancient Near East, and he saw it in Lois. He saw it in Eunice, and he's going, you don't have to go very far because you grew up in it. Be that. And if you're that, the kingdom wins. And I think more than ever, our world needs to see a little bit more Eunice and a little bit more Lois. My grandma's name is Lois. I love that name. And I think we need this. More sincerity, less hypocrisy, more power, resurrection power than softness and safety, more sacrificial love than like love of self, and more sound-mindedness and less next door app. We do this, I think the kingdom of God wins. We do this, the faith that we hand down is something so, so beautiful. And from the stories I hear from Pastor Ken and others, so many of you moms in Faithbridge are living this. So thank you for that. What I wanted to do in just our way of closing this morning is I wanted to have the moms stand. And I wanted just the men, the kids, the daughters to read this prayer together over you. And so if you wouldn't mind, would you mind to stand? And can we just honor you for a second? Oh, yeah, we can clap for that. So this always gets a little bit awkward because when someone's trying to say, hey, let's all read together, people are like, okay, how do we do this together? And we're all on the... So what I want you to do is, whether you're watching the chapel, whether you're in here, I want you just to say these words and almost like say this is a prayer of thanksgiving. Say these words as a blessing. Say these words, it's just something, man, like not just for them, but also for you. And so it's gonna come up on the screen, and here it simply is. A count of three, we'll just start to read it together. One, two, three. May the women of Faithbridge continue to live in Christ with a sincerity that allows them to be fully seen and known, a dynamic power from above, a sacrificial love that points to Christ, and a sound mind in every situation. Real quick, that was the deepest, most baritone voice ever that I've read.
May the women of Faithbridge.
It's beautiful, I love that. But here's what I want you to understand. Is if we live like this, man, what we're giving to our kids and our grandkids and everyone who comes in contact with us is a better picture of what Christ desired for all of us. Can we all stand? And Lizzie and the team are going to lead us in this beautiful song that's about the blessing. Because again, we all came from a mom. And the simple blessing comes straight from the scriptures that says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up your countenance. The Lord shine his face upon you, and may he grant you peace. Let's sing this together.